Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps people like to listen? How do I make money from my podcast? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise your podcast. That means that you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad Force Flex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the next contest, it is set for one fall or two curfew.
Nobody is ready for Oscar!
Bullet Club for life, goodbye! And good night!
I know
wow.
You're on there.
Unbelievable happenings to in Toronto, CNN.
Something I want you to do.
What
I said there's
is
something
it?
I want you to do. Hello.
We're on the air here. Are you having a problem or something?
Yes, I'm having a problem. I can hear Miss Betty, my secretary, but I can't. She don't hear me.
Oh, you want to? You actually want to talk to somebody on
that phone?
What
do you think I've been dialing for? Of course I want to talk to her.
Hey, according to them, so does he, but that's okay. You want a gold medal.
Just shut up for a while. How about that? And second of all...
Go ahead, find it. Go ahead. Oh, wait. It's called a promo, kid.
Shut your
and
mouth,
if you
John.
Want to be the big dog, you're going to have to learn how to do it. So go ahead. See you, fourth wall.
The universe is mine. Progress Wrestling is mine. Sports Entertainment is mine. Everything is mine. And that's for the Super Strong Style Tournament. And you may as well just rename it right now. The British Strong Style Tournament.
This is WrestleCast Radio with your host, Ryan Cook.
Enzo Amore got thrown here because they didn't have anything to do with them, but they're too damn greedy to fire him because they want the merch money. That's my problem with it. It's not a guy who deserves to be getting a good rub like this.
And Alex Mello.
I saw my first Adam Cole match over the weekend from NXT this past Wednesday, and if that's any indication of what this guy is about, then hopefully Ryan can clue me in why everyone's so excited for one Adam Cole. Because, lo and behold, I don't get it.
Hey, maybe Alex, we can give you a redo next time. Ladies and gentlemen, Wrestle Kingdom 12 was last night. We're back at you like we said we were. We keeping it real. This is day five?
Yeah, day five of the 11th.
First,
day.
Second, third, or day four. Excuse me, I'm stupid.
Did you do one Sunday?
No.
Yeah.
Day four. Tonight at 1 a.m., when it's technically Friday, or midnight or something, we will have Sportscast Radio, so that'll be day five.
Yeah.
I got to kill time until New Year's Dash. before we get into it, obviously, for those of you who know, there's going to be a ton of spoilers. If you haven't watched it, you might want to wait to listen to the show.
Spoilers.
A quick spoiler, if you want to wait until after break when we start getting through all this, pause this for 30 seconds, or don't pause it, but just mute us for 30 seconds in a moment. I'm going to read a tweet that is a very telling tweet and going to be a great story for what we talk about today. Hit mute now. I don't think I could care less about something than the G1 winner never successfully cashing in at Wrestle Kingdom. It should be hard to win the title. Every year people can wonder if this is the year and it'll mean more when somebody finally does.
Ooh.
I think that's a really good take. Hopefully you've unmuted us now. We are coming to you. Not sure how long we're booked for 2 hours. If we don't go two, we're sorry. If we do, great. But
I got 4 hours of drive, so I mean, but I'm also hyped up on Mountain Dew and New Japan Pro Wrestling. My God.
Yeah, well, I think we watched half the show three times since last night. I know at least twice.
I analyze everything, so I just want to make sure what I'm analyzing is correct. So the stuff I thought I was nitpicky about, rewatching it again after a 2 hour nap in between viewings, definitely different perspectives, on certain matches, but some stayed the same.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show for the most part. It delivered, I think, in the best way it could.
Yes, yes.
So we're gonna break down match by match, thoughts, the outcome, what we liked, what we didn't like, if there's anything we didn't like, or if there's anything we didn't enjoy, however you want to put that. A lot to talk about. We're also, before we get off, we got to touch a little bit New Year's Dash, what could happen, what should happen, what would be exciting if it happened, you know, just things like that. So we got some fun to talk about real quick. We're going to break, get the first one out of the way right off the bat. Be right back. Wrestling is coming at you. Hi-ya!
Hello, sports fans. I'm Darrell Owens, host of the Legacy Maker Sports Podcast here on WBLZSports.com and Facebook Live. Please join me and my partner in crime, Jeremiah Quimby, as we hit you at primetime every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., as we are here to give you a fun and unique look into the world of sports, MLB, NBA, NFL, and much, much more. Now remember, that's Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. here on WBLZSports.com, where we are building a legacy, and of course, we've got ball.
Gen Service offers complete electrical service with a reputation based on quality. Turn to them for residential, commercial, and industrial electrical service. Doesn't matter if it's new construction, homes, electrical panels, hot tubs, generators, or a commercial rewire. The Gen Service team is licensed, bonded, and insured to put your electrical concerns at ease. For an electrical contractor with 25 years of service, give Gen Service a call at 740-438-7173.
Good evening. I'm Steve Balistrieri.
And I'm Thomas Murphy.
And together, we're the hosts of One Patriot Place on WBLZ Sports.
Your one-stop shop for all your Patriots pre- and post-game news.
Because WBLZ means...
we've got balls.
This is Anna. She's crazy about football. Her team is playing at home next week, and she really wants to go. But when she looks for tickets, they're all sold out. Anna doesn't know where else to look. There are hundreds of confusing websites, and scalpers are sketchy. But then, Anna discovers SeatGeek. SeatGeek finds tickets from hundreds of sources and puts them all in one interactive map. Anna easily buys the best deal, with two taps and no surprises. When game day arrives, Anna scans her ticket using SeatGeek and gets the receipt before the first snap. SeatGeek, the smart way to buy tickets.
Even Milli Vanilli thinks we're hot. WBLZ Sports.
Hey, Alex DeMello here, host of The Pop Culturist, inviting you to check out myself alongside Half Pint Kyle Adams as we discuss all the latest news in movies, TV, music, and Broadway. Well, not until another Hamilton comes our way. Check us out every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. Also, you can archive our show, blogtalkradio.com. Search bar, Unpopular Media Network, not only to listen to the pop cultures, but all the great content we have to offer on Unpopular Media. And now, back to our show.
We'll be right back.
the WrestleCast Radio back end.
Literally, it's the same song. It's like saying Absolution and the Riot Squad isn't the exact carbon copy. Like, Okada and Tanahashi's music are literally the same. It's like,
Go Ace!
Yeah, you add Go Ace in the background. Exactly.
Go Ace!
Take that Florida Georgia Line.
Dang! I don't even know what
it's
that means.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. So.
What is the Florida? Are those some
disgusting band that people pay lots of money to listen to and go see, even though literally every one of their songs is exactly the same, proven by science, by the way.
Who's
not
there?
Just me being a quote unquote jerk, but no, it's proven by science that each of their songs are pretty. 90% of their songs are literally the same, like beat, music, whatever sheet. Whatever.
Who's their lead singer?
I have no idea.
Is it this?
It's like Trent Beretta's like younger brother.
Trent Beretta's tight.
Which I think is
Lance
Archer.
Yeah, you're like, that's not Beretta. Oh yeah.
That's where it was like the same person.
So we're gonna break it down first half and then second half after. Let's start with the Battle Royal. It happened. It was the Battle Royal. Shout out to Kyle who continuously yelled for Cheeseburger.
Yeah,
I really want Cheeseburger to be here.
Aww.
And then Cheeseburger shows up. Oh, excuse me. I'm just trying to pull something up here on my gimmick device.
He got a decent pop. You know, people dig them some Cheeseburger over in Tokyo there. So it shows a lot of heart, you know, which I think is appropriate for that reaction there. And he held in there pretty long, I would say.
We saw Bushi, Chase Owens, Cheeseburger, David Finlay, Delirious, El Desperado, Gino Gambino.
Who that guy was?
Yeah, if I remember right, I've heard that this guy may become like a future Bullet Club member.
Oh,
or like he's like a non-sanctioned. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Thanks, stereotypes.
Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Jushin Thunder Liger, Katsuya Kitamura, Leo Tonga, Manabu Nakanishi, Satoshi Kojima, who was my pick to win. Takamichi Noku, who was in the Rumble. Tiger Mask. We saw Hanare with some interesting gear.
Did we miss half?
We missed like half of it.
I was like, I don't remember seeing Liger at all. I'm surprised that he wasn't in there.
Like the network wasn't working.
Oh yeah, that's right. You would think it was based out of, you know, Connecticut. You know, but that just goes to show you, hey, you know, in my heart of hearts, I'm thinking a lot of people. We're getting New Japan World for this event, so that's awesome.
Yoshihashi, Yoshinobu Kanemaru was in it. Yuji Nagata. And Yujiro Takahashi, who our buddy Doof made his first New Japan appearance, and
yes,
he loved Yujiro Takahashi. not even for the women, just because that guy looks cool. This went 31 minutes, 6 seconds. But we saw Masahito Kakihara make his return, win it after he had just beat cancer, was what they were talking about. I'm not going to lie about it. I had never seen him before. That was, I believe he was in the UWF, which was an older, like, 90s company.
Okay.
So I'm not going to lie and just act like I know what I'm talking about, because I don't. I don't know at all what I'm talking about with that dude. He had that dope German suplex shirt on, though.
Yeah.
And he was wearing, looked like he was something affiliated with Sakuraba, which we haven't seen in a while. I'm trying to see if I can see any information on him. But, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's much to really worry about talking about here with the Rumble. It is what it is. It was pre-show, as always. Let's go right into the opening match. We saw the Young Bucks, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, in 1849, defeat the team of Sho and Yo, Roppongi 3K, for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championships. Alex, thoughts on the mound.
My God, this was a match I was looking forward to. But I am on the Roppongi 3K train, even with outlandish as their outfits and their dance maneuvers are.
Maneuvers!
They bring it into the ring. And the Young Bucks, which, you know, this was, you know, on the preview show that we did last night, I was like, this is their chance to show their leadership in the ring to, you know, kind of prove haters wrong, you know. I'm a cup of hater, you know, maybe about 20% there, you know, because, again, a lot of it just seems the same old, you know, if you will. But it was a different approach in this match that they had. A lot of physicality, not a lot of somersaults. They worked a lot of injury angles for both teams, which I thought was awesome. It told the story that way.
Mm-hmm.
They were beating the hell out of each other. Yes, we saw some Hurricane Ranas. We saw some side Hurricane Ranas, Meltzer drivers, you know. And, I mean, you got your Young Bucks still, but, again, they brought the physicality, which you're thinking, you know, okay, maybe this is their, again, segue into the heavyweight tag division that way.
I wouldn't be surprised if Roppongi 3K gets the belts back at, like, New Beginning or something like that.
Yeah.
Double dive spot with Sho and Yo, where Yohei Komatsu puts off, excuse me, the injury angle. They played it really well if he wasn't injured.
Yes.
Then it came to the point where they brought Rocky Romero out to the ramp and hit a running powerbomb on him.
I think he's still down. I think he's probably still the trophy.
Romero still has not been helped to the back as he's trying. He looks like a walker from season one of The Walking Dead, still crawling around. Matt Jackson takes a nasty, nasty bump on the ground as well. We get that crazy spot, too, in the middle of the match with, I believe it was Sho Tanaka and Nick Jackson, where they had, like, the stare down. Instead of hitting each other, they started kicking their that was really cool. I've never seen that. And then we get Matt and Yohei Komatsu coming back at each other, but both extremely selling their backs and doing the slow back-and-forth punches. It was really good. It was a different pace for a Young Bucks match. And they did a great job, even in victory, I feel, going over, a great job to continue to elevate Roppongi 3K. We had seen Roppongi have four main matches, the title win, the victories, then winning at the tournament. Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think what that was. The world or the Super Junior Tag Tournament. So, you know, they had ran the table in that. They had couple wins under their belt, but by no means were they unstoppable. I thought it was a good match.
It shows, like you were just saying, though, it showed a different side of them because they were so dominant. You know, you're like, oh, look at this new team. You know, like the Roman Reigns treatment. But with this here, they were, you know, they showed their vulnerability. They were believable for their next round of the match, whether it's with Young Bucks, which I'm sure we will get that rematch, of course. But just going against any other competitors, you know, down the line there. You know, they don't have to be that cockiness, you know, that cocky new team with the wannabe swagger.
they're trying.
But yes, they are. But no, I would say this is definitely a good light for them. Fantastic opener. This was a hell of a match. I really liked it.
I still think Sho Tanaka is going to be the star of that team.
Is he the blonde one or the gentleman in the gold.
He's the gentleman with the gold, not the silver. Not the one that got his chest ripped apart by Hirobo. I feel like he's just got a little more of the charisma to him. Yohei Komatsu's main charisma seems to be doing the Matt Hardy version one with 3K taunt and then opening his right shirt to show his pec.
Man, yeah.
And that's his taunt.
Those sharpshooters, man. But I would say for the Young Buck fans that didn't get their Young Buck fill, if you say. Do you think they like this match? Do you think this different side of you?
Because it was a great match. You know, they proved they don't need to do – there's certain times in certain places to do those crazy high spots matches.
Yeah.
And they went out and told a story, and it was a great story. I went 3.75 on this match, just under 4. I thought it was a nice hot opener. Hot opener. Next, we get the cluster of clusters.
I get it. It's like, you know, everyone needs a payday. These guys, I mean, Ishii needs a payday. I'm not needs, but he deserves a payday. Juice Robinson for the year that he had deserves a payday. But then all these other competitors, you're like, what? Like, this didn't need to happen. But the never open weight 6-man tag team gauntlet championship match, try saying that 8 times in a row. I would say the highlight was, as we predicted last night, Elgin and War Machine kind of walking kind of away from each other down to the ring. But when they were announced one of the first teams, we're like, oh, they're out right away.
Yeah, we saw it was Taichi, Takashi Iizuka, and Zack Sabre Jr. Suzuki-Gun eliminating War Machine and Michael Elgin. We then saw Taguchi Japan come out. Juice Robinson, Ryusuke, Taguchi, Togi Makabe. Chaos then followed Beretta, Tomohiro Ishii, Toru Yano. And then we saw Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa, who were the champions, come out. They take the loss. Beretta, Ishii, Yano win. 17:03 was the time on it. I went 2.5 stars. Thought it was what it was.
Yeah.
I before we talk the next match to kind of tie these together, in my head, I'm still to this day wondering, Cody Rhodes continues to get booked in single matches at these shows. Cody Rhodes gets no reaction most of the time from these crowds, yet he gets these special singles matches. And in my head, I'm watching this going, why is Ishii or Juice, as you mentioned, not wrestling Kota Ibushi? Why couldn't we have gotten Ishii versus Ibushi? I understand that there's nothing there. Make something happen.
Yeah. Or even, you know, you have your hottest star, you know, or up-and-comer, your breakthrough star, if you will, 2017 in New Japan, Juice Robinson. Why not throw him into a match with Ibushi? Because then that can elevate, you know, Juice. You know, that would be the stratosphere for him, because then, again, more gold could, you know, hopefully be locked in into his future.
So, I mean, they did what they could. We got a lot of Yano nut shots and some comedy and things like that.
Yeah.
I wish we would have got more Ishii.
Yeah.
We really didn't get a lot of Ishii. He threw a few lariats, but it was a lot of Beretta selling for Bullet Club. Excuse me. You know, our buddy Brian Klecker was sitting there going, oh, man, I can't wait to see Tomohiro Ishii and Zack Sabre Jr. go at it right now. Let's just get everyone else out of here and have them go at it. And they didn't even touch.
Nope.
So that was a shot in the dark that left the building. But it was what it was. I think everybody, I don't even want to say we, I think everybody knew that this was not going to be this.
No, man,
I can't believe we saw that happen. You know what I mean?
Like, this is your definition of a filler match in E standards. If you will, this was the Divas 2008, you know, type of, you know, match. But unfortunately, it was in the beginning of the card. But new champs, I believe, with the Never Open Weight 6-Man Tag Team Champions. I just love saying that. Chaos, of course, getting the win.
Getting
there,
the W.
So.
I'm assuming that's going to be the main
finally,
event.
Finally getting... Suplex was pretty cool.
Yeah,
was,
yeah. No, I mean, and that's the thing is there was some cool stuff in these matches.
You just didn't need 19.
Yeah,
like,
last year there was 4, and that was plenty. This
yeah,
year there's
yeah.
5.
Yeah.
And this year it was shorter. The match was, I think, like 5 minutes shorter, if I remember right.
Oh, wow.
So they shoehorned 3 more guys, a whole other fall, into less time. so I was like, okay, I get all right. Funny.
Do you think War Machine, by the way, their last night probably in Japan as they are heading to Orlando. Hopefully we'll see you there in a week there, guys. do you think they just like got turned in Tokyo?
Well, they're booked for tonight from what I heard.
There?
Yeah.
Okay.
NXT's actually taping in Atlanta.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Well, not this whole month.
They'll be taping until past the Rumble.
There's a show only an hour away from where I'm staying.
Yeah, are you gonna go?
I will damn sure try. My goal is to go to the TNA the Monday I land. So I'm hoping to get the Universal for that, so they could pay me to watch their product.
Don't they do it? They do it in Ottawa though.
No, I saw like a whole.
Oh, they did go back
there. Yeah.
Shows how much I pay attention. Anyway, back to good stuff.
Wrestling. Yeah, I feel dirty now. Yeah.
But I'm assuming 6-man tag titles will be the main event of New Year's Dash. It usually is the Never Open Weight titles on the line.
Just the rematch of KS and Bullet Club, probably? Or
yeah, probably.
Or what if they throw a swerve and Jeff Cobb comes out and then them and War Machine win the belt and then they just leave forever?
War Machine goes, we're taking these crap off the show. So that'll be interesting to see where they go with this. But Ishii, Beretta, and Toriano, your winners. I said it last night too. I would have been much more happy if it would have been Ishii, Beretta, and Yoshihashi.
Yeah.
But, you know, they gotta shoehorn Yano in there always, which is fine. I mean, he's not for me, but whatever. It is what it is. next match, we get Kota Ibushi, Cody Rhodes. This was a match we were initially not too excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Great, we get to watch Kota Ibushi job to Cody. Cody spontaneously... or miraculously loses the ROH title.
Either way.
He explodes and his hair changes.
Yeah.
but he loses the title to Dalton Castle. Now it's one of those, okay, let's see what happens. I went 3.25. I thought it was pretty good.
This was a damn near close 4-star match for me.
Nice.
Just due to the fact that that crossroads off of the mat there, or I should say, yeah, on the outside of the ring there onto the floor. That was a vicious spot.
That was disgusting.
Ibushi, you know, kind of going after, since we found out, since it wasn't a title match anymore, it was a battle of the handsomes, if you will. a spot involving Brandi Rhodes, which was good because the payoff, you know, her kind of swerving the audience as well as Ibushi, you know, I thought that was very heelish, if you will. Cody, you know, like I said, I'm finally on the bandwagon. He realizes his character. He realizes who he is. Again, no reaction in Japan. So, yes, maybe he should start going more in the teaming as long as he's in New Japan. But this was a great match.
Yeah.
I was not, you know, expecting, you know, again, just knees to faces, you know, pretty much going to Cody Rhodes there. But Cody held his own against Ibushi. This was a fun match. Ibushi's Ibushi. He's one of the best in the world. Yes, there were some times where you're like, okay, is he in this? Is he over this? But then, you know, that last stretch, if you will, you know, he's like, okay, he's all in. He's just ready for the after party.
Yeah.
But Cody Rhodes, hell of a performance.
He held his own.
It was great, yeah.
You
was really good.
You couldn't ask for much more from what he – I mean, he did everything he could to have as good of a match as he could with Kota Ibushi.
Yes, yeah.
It's not going to be, you know, Ibushi Tanahashi. We knew that going in. But it was much better than I thought it was going to be. This was – to me, this was the best Cody Rhodes match I saw
probably better than the Okada match. And, you know,
I'm going to go with the last 6 months, and I forgot about that. Okada.
Okada and Ibushi are the only New Japan wrestlers to beat him in New Japan in singles matches. So.
I didn't like the Minoru Suzuki ROH match, I'm a huge Suzuki mark. It was like an 11-minute.
Well, 9-minute match.
Yeah,
your main event. That's
I really didn't like Cody and Dalton Castle.
No.
Final Battle. Final Battle to me sucked. So I think that was part of it. That 4-way TV title match, I think I fell asleep twice during that. I mean, this was one of the better Cody matches. This was, I think I liked it better than Cody Juice last year, and I really liked that match
because
that was the Juice Robinson coming out party.
Yeah. I would watch this match probably. I mean, I probably watched that Juice Cody match maybe twice. I would probably watch this match. I've already seen this match twice. I'd rather watch it a few more times throughout the year. Maybe let it marinate a few months, go back to it, you know, like I always do with the New Japan stuff. And, I shouldn't say surprised. I'm happy. I'm happy because the way that Cody, the Young Bucks, Bullet Club are trying to ascend, you know, and help New Japan cross over into the States, especially with that 10,000-seater, hopefully in Chicago. This is something that he needed. I think having a quality match to start off the year will help elevate him in the market.
And it's good business for New Japan having Kota Ibushi get a victory like that.
Yeah.
Because who's to say now with Ibushi beating Cody that they don't signify something where Ibushi is now going to challenge Omega?
Oh, man.
You know?
Then you get your...
Maybe that's what we get in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think New Japan is going to give Long Beach Omega Ibushi. That's going to headline a new beginning or a show wrestling Duntaku, a King of Pro Wrestling. That's what I think that's going to headline. You know, probably not Dominion because that'll be the world title.
Yeah.
But or the heavyweight championship, excuse me. But that's definitely something that I can see happening, and I can see it happening soon. Sakura Genesis, maybe.
I could see that. I also thought, again, depending on Shibata. depending on, you know, what are plans for him, if he's healthy to come back, why not do that rematch a year after, you know, maybe at Sakura Genesis, depending on his health situation there. So,
yeah.
I mean, that would be kind of a nice anniversary, but it's something that's like, okay, a year later, I'm back. Let's do this, the rematch. That will sell. That will put asses in seats.
And maybe that's something we see, like, you know, obviously we're going to touch on New Year's Dash later, but maybe that's one of the big surprises. Meltzer's already saying... Yeah. Expect a lot of angles tonight, no pre-show. They're going to really kind of get this year rolling. And I'm excited. I cannot wait for News Dash tonight. 3:30 Central Time in the morning for all you people that are staying up like I am. the first half main event. Now, obviously, there was no intermission this time, but we're just going to break it down into half.
It was still 5 hours. That was an enjoyable
It was 6.5 counting the pre-show.
Well, the pre-show.
Or the Rambo. When you were rewinding, it was like 6:31:09. I think it was the total time.
Still, I think WrestleMania was probably longer. Not like it anyway.
We get Los Ingobernables, the Apollo members, Evil and Sonata, defeating the Killer Elite Squad, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, 14-14 to win the IWGP Tag Team Heavyweight Tag Team titles.
So not Trent Beretta?
No, it was not Trent Beretta. I went 2.5 on this match, and I was being gracious because of how stiff it was and how hard they were trying to work. But this match kind of felt flat. If it wasn't for the nice finishing sequence of the match, the way it ended, and those stiff shots that they were really delivering in that home stretch, I may have went under it too.
Yeah, I mean, this was a match we were both, you know, kind of gearing for. You know, we of course knew LIJ would come out on top. Your worries of Sonata kind of looking, you know, kind of complacent in it had its warrant, but, you know, kind of towards the end, that final stretch, he you know, kind of came back into the picture. Evil, I mean, give the man his money. I mean, he's definitely, he sells. I mean, he's one of the better sellers, I would say, you know, out of the young crop. And it's just awesome. That last sequence of events was just fantastic. I had to rewind and be like, wait, how did they just pull that off? You know, like I was rather still confused. But shout out also to Sonata for leapfrogging over Davey Boy Jr. because Davey Boy's like 7 feet tall, you know, in those boots. And he graciously just left over. I was like, how the hell? But Sonata's no small guy either. So. I mean, his fauxhawk probably puts him an inch taller.
A little bit.
But no, it was I'm happy. You know, hopefully they will find their niche, you know, together in the upcoming months here and dominate the world tag or the heavyweight tag division.
This is the thing that's going to scare me about Evil and Sonata with the titles, is these guys are better at working from the top, where they're controlling the match. And with the way that they've kind of – LIJ has kind of taken that Kenny Omega route where they get sympathy now and they're kind of more of the I would say if you call them tweeners, they're more babyface than heel.
Yes.
You know, Naito may act heel, things like that. But, you know, Evil, Sonata, and those guys, they get sympathy.
Yeah.
And working KES, they had to work from the bottom.
Yeah.
And they worked from the bottom in a few of the matches in the tournament. And that was my problem with them, is I don't see enough comeback fire or just the way they work coming from the bottom up. They need to control the match.
Yeah.
Evil's best match, we said, was Okada.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously it was Okada, best wrestler alive. We get that. But what was Evil doing? He was working from the top.
Mm-hmm.
He was controlling the match. And he was giving Okada the comeback, the fire spots.
Yeah.
You know, the big stuff that we watched with Sonata at the beginning of the G1 was matches he was working from the top.
Hmm.
When these guys were working from the bottom and taking a little bit of the beating to get the comeback, something just doesn't hit with me. I can't figure it out. I don't know exactly what it is.
The storytelling was good because, again, LIJ was getting beat up, but 90% of the match. That's why, again, the ending was just so. I was like, wait, how did that happen?
Excuse me. Why did I play your sounder, Alex? I thought I still had it. Yeah, there. Nope, I got rid of it.
Dang. Oh, man. But,
oh, never mind. Here it is.
But I would say this was, you know, the right guys won.
Yeah.
Again, we'll see where it goes. You know, we'll see if the Bucks make that transition to the heavyweights. I'm all for this match. This could be a damn good fun match, you know. Hardy Boys versus, you know, not the Dudleys or Edge and Gershon, but, you know, a bigger team, you know, that can, you know, probably mesh well. They can both, you know, get their stuff in and do some interesting new moves that we haven't seen yet.
I've heard too that KES isn't booked for New Year's Dash, and they're not booked for the upcoming tours.
Ooh.
So they may not be doing the New Beginning shows. I don't know what that means for KES.
TNA.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? They'll go and wrestle Fala Ba.
Ooh.
Oh, that Demptress? The Demptress is a hork. You don't like Fala Ba? Okay. Fala Ba. I just like saying Fala Ba. Never mind. So it'll be interesting to see what'll happen here with the tag division. Once again, I'm assuming something happens at New Year's Dash today with these titles.
Yeah.
And establishing some new contenders for these upcoming shows, unless they're going to save it all for the road to New Beginning shows. We'll see. I'm pretty excited. we're at the halfway point. Normally they take intermission They didn't this year, but we gotta pay some bills. So we are going to take a quick intermission. We'll come back and give you the home stretch, the second half of the card, the meat and potatoes, final five matches of the card, and they were pretty good. The bread and butter. We'll be right back.
This is Nick Ficarelli, the Mad Scientist of Sports. Join me and Dr. D, Derek Jones, live every Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific, for the Mad Scientist Sports Lab. The big intellects, the experiments on the chalkboard, and the guest subjects will be rolling in. Mad Scientist Sports Lab, only on WBLZ Sports, where we got balls.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, E. Glaze, one half of the dopest sports show on radio, the Crush Sports Talk. Check us out every Tuesday through Thursday right here on WBLZ Sports from 3 to 5 p.m. The dopest sports show on radio with your boy E. Glaze and Maceo Hurd right here on WBLZ Sports. We've got balls.
Check out Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL legends live on. We bring you five NFL legends every week, sharing their stories and insights, plus our spotlight on the positive. Hear which players are doing great things in their communities. Now on WBLZ Sports Talk Radio and WBLZSports.com.
What's good, sports fans? You may already know me, but if not, my name's Kyle Adams, and I host a weekly show that plays the jams like this.
You're fighting strong of the might and muscle groove. Right or wrong, go huddle with others, love abuse. Cuddle your brother, scuttle, regroup and troubleshoot. But hustle the struggle, don't let the struggle hustle you.
Like this. And like this.
Not dead silence, except the hissing from the tiger. Plenty of us winning, I begin to get inspired. And always hit the digits of the kids that I admire. But it's different these days.
So does Sound Radio. Mondays at 4 p.m. Central, here on blogtalkradio.com and the Unpopular Media Network. What up, Peanut?
Can we just get a made-up play call from you with Ben Roethlisberger going to Antonio Brown for a touchdown and taking it in for a score?
All right. Ben, no huddle. Looks left, looks right, communicates, steps back into the shotgun. D'Angelo to his right. Here's the snap. He's back. He looks. Quick slant over the middle. There goes Antonio Brown. He's loose, and he is going, gone.
Kevin Green to Steel Nation Live. Kevin, great to have you on our show.
Outstanding. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Good to be on the show.
Join Sanders Tisdale and James Owen and co-host Jeff Reed as we talk to some of the biggest names in Steeler Nation Live Sports out there. Check us out every Tuesday night, 6 to 7 p.m., only on WBLZ Sports, the only sports show out there that has balls.
Connecting with WBLZ Sports is so easy, we can do it for free. Yes, on your mobile phone, you can get us for free at WBLZ Sports on your iPhone and your Android. You want to connect with us on social media? Facebook.com/WBLZ Sports. Twitter handle at WBLZ Sports. Instagram at WBLZ Sports. Website, www.WBLZSports.com. Yes, that's right. WBLZ Sports is all over the place, and it's easy to get to us. Why? Because we got balls.
Twitter said Chris Jericho's debuting new music tonight, and somebody replied, it's his own band, Fozzie Mark.
Oh man. Speaking of Dave Meltzer, he made an appearance in the in our next open.
18 minutes and 4 seconds. Hiroki Goto wins the hair versus hair death match. Hair versus hair and no seconds death match for the never open weight championship. Literally was almost death as he hung.
Yeah,
Hiroki Goto, the trainer, came in. His eyes are rolled into his head. He boots the trainer out of the ring. These guys beat the piss and vinegar out of each other.
Well, let's just say Suzuki beat the piss and vinegar out of Goto for pretty much 90 minutes.
He's laying unconscious on the ground and gets open hand slapped about four times.
Punched in the ear. He was going like triple G speed with his punches and slaps. It was insane.
The seconds, obviously, we knew something was going to happen. Thankfully, it wasn't anything crazy. Suzuki Goon runs out. The Young Lions catapult into position to stop him. Taichi gets by. And who stops Taichi but none other than Dave Meltzer?
Yeah. Fair enough.
And then we realized it wasn't Dave Meltzer, it was Yoshihashi. But Alex was very adamant. Is that Dave Meltzer? Mark. Just kidding. But it was a really good match, in a serious note. I was extremely ecstatic for the fact that we didn't have shenanigans.
Yes.
We had one little spot, and it wasn't anything crazy. I'm okay with one thing, just one little thing like that. We had a very good climactic finish.
Yes.
We saw Goto hit numerous finishes on him, gets the victory. He had a couple reverse style on those GTRs. It was a really good match. Suzuki really shined here, brought out a lot in Goto, something that we haven't seen. We've been clamoring for in Goto that just kind of hasn't been there half the time.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Suzuki got out of him. Suzuki brought his A game, you know, the same intensity he had in his two matches with Okada earlier this or last year. Fantastic match. It was probably, I guess technically it was my third favorite match of the night for my gradings. I went 4.25, Alex. What'd you think?
I would definitely put this at a 4-star rating. Of course, I watched it. This was one of my not snooze isn't bad, but I fell asleep during this before the match in the morning here. We'll watch it just before the show. They told the story. You know the history. It was great. Their Titantron, if you will. Kind of laid out the story of these two right before the competitors came out.
Yeah.
That was a really cool touch to it, you know, kind of showed it throughout through them over the years. Minoru, I mean, he's he's brutal. I mean, he just does not give any F's, and as well as he should have. I read Don Callis called him a masochist, which that sums it up. I mean, he plays that villain. He's like an old Joker, if you will, to New Japan. He's the one that wants to see, you know, the world implode. As long as he's champion, he can do that. He has his goons, you know, with him. You could even say Taka is his Harley Quinn, if you will. But I would say he played that dastardly villain quite well. But Goto, again, it was just a head scratcher. Like, how did he win this match? And then, oh yeah, you know, the whole what is that? A neck breaker off the top rope. It's like a pile driver, but he pile drives your neck onto his knee. That was just an insane move, and of course, getting the win with the Revolution there for the victory. So it was a good match, and I love the honor of it. The Suzuki Goon, you know, comes out, walks Minoru back, and then he's like, "Nope, I'm going to be a man of honor." You know, a way of the samurai goes in, get, you know, knocks the chair that was already placed with him as his own chair.
That was awesome.
Sits it down and then just grabs the razor from Goto and just starts going to town, which was, I thought, a great way. The crowd popped huge as well as they already do. But again, it just shows these two warriors here, you know, just putting on a clinic, if you will, storytelling wise. It was just something that was great. Now it's now what's next for Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah, that's what I'm intrigued by. And, you know, 100% perfect. He leaves the seconds, knocks a chair out of the way with his own chair, sets it down, snatches the razor, ponytail gimmick, shark fin, whatever you want to call it, spikes the razor on the chair and leaves.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, you had mentioned, you know, maybe this is a sabbatical for him and he takes time and then comes back later. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I honestly don't know where they go with it. And it's another one of those things where, you know, we saw Suzuki Goon make the return after being in Pro Wrestling Noah helping out over there for a while at New Year's Dash last year. So,
oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know,
that's
it's only been a year they've been back. I really don't know where they go with this.
Does he turn? I mean, it was not a turn, if you will, but it was a feel-good moment where you're like, oh, maybe he could, you know, maybe he, but as our, as Demetrius pointed out, you know, maybe that's just, you know, the honor code there. And maybe he just comes down as a fallen warrior trying to get back, you know, up into.
This is extremely far-fetched. This is me really, really reaching.
Can the Goto team up?
I wanted Goto to break off of Chaos and start his own faction forever. I think we need, I mean, yes, Taguchi Japan's newer, but I would not hate it if we were to shrink some of these other factions down and make another one. Just for the fact that, you know, Bullet Club has like 20 members at one point, it felt like. Chaos has like 15. I mean, Chuck Taylor's technically in Chaos now, it says. Oh, I mean, he's listed as there. Which is fine. I like Chuck Taylor. I'm not dogging Chuck Taylor, but I would love to see Goto start his own faction and Suzuki joins him.
Oh, man. Superpowers. I mean, they're not getting too old for this. I mean, that's for sure. Suzuki, he had a hell of a match. I thought this was I'm happy you had me watch it right before the show. It was great storytelling. Now the whole question is, what happens to Minoru?
You know, and if you did something like that, you could grab a guy like Dave Finley, who's not in any stable.
No, you can leave him.
Well, you gotta have a pin taker in the group.
Kitsumura
is going on excursion. He's not taking pins. Are you kidding me? That guy's gonna come back and win the world title. Oh, he's gonna be the guy to beat Okada. No, that won't happen. But I'm just saying, a guy like David Finley can be the pin taker. That's why you bring him in. Somebody to eat. It's like Chase Owens.
Chase Owens
eats victory, you know, pins for other teams, or Yujiro does. You know, things like that. Like Taka eats pins.
Yeah.
Rocky Romero would eat pins for Chaos. So you need somebody that can eat some pins. You get Dave Finley in there. You know, and maybe you grab I'm just thinking random things. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing something freshen up a little bit. That's one thing I always like. Oh, geez.
Who would be the young guy in that group that you would think they would snatch up for a bunch of wily veterans like Goto?
Jay White?
I
don't know if it makes sense, but what do you know?
Maybe that'll give him a boost after that match. But we'll talk about that.
It's one of those things where that Dragon Gate does right is with their factions, and they always freshen them up after a while. You always get these faction wars and then the disbanding. You know, like we just saw the Jimmys get disbanded after Berserk beat them at Destruction Gate over the summer. So it gives you fresh things, and that's one thing that I would like to see is just something freshen up. I had kind of thought it would have been interesting if, you know, Cody would have cost Jericho or would have cost Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Omega and the Young Bucks broke off from Bullet Club and joined the Elite or just did the Elite
this
themselves.
The Elite.
Yeah. This is something obviously it's not going to happen. I mean, there's too much money to be made with those three in the Bullet. Yeah,
maybe
so.
In a year, you know, maybe something like that within about a year. I think they still got to build up Cody, you know, that aspect of the Bullet Club, the Elite's the Elite. So, I mean, I think you just got to build up the other members there. First, you know, maybe post their show, you know, that they're going to run. And, yeah, maybe something next New Year's Day, 2019, where we'll be like, hey, we called that. Yeah.
So I'm hoping, you know, just something interesting.
Yeah.
But it'll be nice to see where they go with Goto next, who his next challenger is going to be and what they decide to do. I'd like to see Goto and Zack Sabre.
I was about to say Sabre Jr. would be.
That would be dope.
They had a good match in the G1, you know, in their, you know, the tournament there. So that was one of my matches. I took extensive notes. I was like, all right. At first I was like, that doesn't make sense. And I was like, oh, they put on a hell of a match.
I am a fan. Moving on here, next match. This is my second favorite match tonight. I'm 100% on. I went 4 3/4. I almost went 5 stars on this. I'm not gonna lie. Will Ospreay gets the title back finally. Finally pinning Marty Scurll, Hiromu Takahashi and Kushida as well in the match, 4-way for the junior championship, 21 minutes, 18 seconds. This was a car crash.
Yeah.
You could not take your eyes off of it, and it was insane. There was a spot that looked rushed, and I'm glad it was rushed, where Scurll, I think, came out and hit hit Hiromu in the corner and immediately eats a boot in the face from Ospreay as he's like hitting the punch. So it was so crazy timed. And I'm like, what in the hell? It was a really good match, though. Ospreay does that crazy dive.
Yeah, what was it, like a lighting rig or something? Just something in the side of the entrance way, and he's just climbing up and just dives right off.
Hiromu gets taken out of the match and then comes back by doing sunsets with pile driver or power bombs over the top.
Over the and he
hits one, comes back in, hits another. I mean, it was...
I mean, we recommend watching the whole match, obviously, with Ryan's high rating. I would probably give it close to that, maybe 4.5, 4.75, too. But the final stretch, the final 5-6 minutes of this match is just... Yeah, it's a derby race where you're just like, who's going to, you know, run into what? Who's going to win this? Honestly, it was a shock for me, you know, with Ospreay kind of getting the title. Squirrel looks strong, but Hiromu in that last stretch is like, oh, is he going to reclaim the title? You know, is this going to be, you know, his moment again to keep that LIJ train rolling, you know, for the night?
Mm-hmm.
But Ospreay looked good. He looked like his eye was on the prize. Obviously, a huge Vikings fan. We know he's pulling for them with all that purple that he was sporting last night. So, but like you said, what was awesome, you know, hitting Oz cutters like crazy. But you know, him finally getting over the hump of the villain himself.
It was cool too with a huge false finish. I thought Hiromu had the match won. Skrull pulls the ref out.
I was mad.
What does Jim Ross say? I'm madder than a hornet. I was so pissed off. I wanted Hiromu to win.
The umbrella.
Oh my god! I forgot about that.
Yeah. Sorry, viewer listeners.
Shout out to Alex who completely did the full motion in excitement. Instead of talking, he just remember this.
Who did he take? Was it?
It was Hiromu.
Hiromu. That's because I expected blood to be dripping and half of his face falling off. Because my god, the impact.
It looked like Ken Griffey Jr. swinging a baseball bat.
Oh my god.
I couldn't believe how hard he. And then he hit Kushida.
Yeah.
Wasn't as hard as the Hiromu. Hiromu, I don't either didn't care.
Yeah.
Or didn't know it was coming because there was no protection and no emotion.
He was given some sake after the match.
I'm oh
sure.
My
he was
god.
Delivered a bottle or two. From the villain there. So, yeah, no, I thought these four guys did a hell of a job. They lived up to expectations, probably even exceeded it in many people's eyes. This was a fun match. We definitely recommend, you know, checking this one out of the Wrestle Kingdom 12 pay-per-view. Is it a pay-per-view, streaming show? What do you call it?
That's a pay-per-view. This is the biggest spectacle in all of professional wrestling.
I feel like we're cheating them by only paying $10 to get quality like this.
We don't even pay $10.
Yeah.
We paid 999 yen.
Take that, Donnie.
Meanwhile, we do pay the WWE $10 for watching half the crap they put on.
And they don't even have some of the original music. So you better give Jim Johnston his money so we don't hear bootleg rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin music in like 5 years.
Shout out to, we watched from New Beginning in Osaka, I think it was Dragon Lee.
Oh my God.
And Hiromu was February 11th.
Ooh.
And the dub music for Dragon Lee. Fantastic. If you want it.
Oh my God.
Come and get it. Then 19 minutes, 56 seconds, we see Hiroshi Tanahashi retain the IWGP Intercontinental Championship against 1J White. I went 3.5 on it. I enjoyed it, but I had a little bit of a letdown.
I would say this is my second least favorite match.
Wow. I couldn't go that long. I'll say this. Every time they started to get going, then they just stopped. Like,
yeah,
it was like they were, you know, they're trying to go 0 to 60 mm-hmm. and they get to about 50, 55 miles an hour and then they hit a red light and have to go back and start over again. I thought the legwork was good. I enjoyed it from Jay White. Tanahashi throwing his own legwork back in. I liked the dragon screws into the mat. I thought those were pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice counters. Tanahashi hitting the high fly flow on his back.
Yeah, that was
bad. And then hitting the normal one. He hit a standing one. A couple really good sling blade counters into him actually hitting the sling blade. So there was a lot I dug in the match. I do think there was a little jitters for Jay White. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, this is the biggest match of his career.
Yeah.
I think if, you know, technically I guess the biggest match he probably would have had before this was against Punishment Martinez at one of the ROH pay-per-views, Steps Before Dishonor maybe, okay, where they had like a street fight. And I mean, even that's a microscope of what this match was going in against, you know, the former ace,
yeah,
third from the top, wrestling for the IC title. The pressure's on you to
carry, mm-hmm, this guy, to catapult him. And then they have the decision of him retaining.
Yeah, and that was a little I don't think it hurts him more the more I think about it, because, you know, now it's, if they do it right, I think he needs to come out and attack Tanahashi again tonight and give him the, you got me. I'm still, you know, I'm still new, but I'm, yeah, going to figure you out. I'm going to beat you. And they play that card.
Etch in his diary or look, you know, at the camera upside down. Is that how he's going to get to him? He's going to Bray Wyatt the situation?
He is. Don't you ever say those words again.
I don't. To me, he didn't do anything, you know, too exciting. I mean, for, you know, you talking how good this guy is, you know, and I saw a few YouTube things like, okay, this could be interesting. It just seemed like it was just, it didn't make sense to match these two together without not having a you know, an extensive history, if you will, at a Wrestle Kingdom. This is something you maybe have at a New Beginnings, or, you know, you have them attack Tanahashi after New Year's Dash. You don't be like, oh yeah, Switchblade. Nope, it's not Chris Jericho. It's this guy. Everyone's like, what? You know, and to me, that I was looking forward to more of a story with these guys. And like you said, he was going after Tanahashi's neck, his leg, his arm early in the match. And then, like, halfway through, Tanahashi's like, you know what, whatever. It's like he was just like, I'm not injured, guys, and I'm going to go full throttle now. And then, you know, I'm all good. And then, you know, he super Cena'd, if you will, or super Tana'd. And, you know, it was in the bag. And it was just like, it was just a head scratcher.
I don't think it's an unparalleled formula, because he did it last year, the time bomb gimmick. Unveils as Hiromu Takahashi, who debuts at Power Struggle, mm-hmm, but then goes on to Wrestle Kingdom and beats Kushida for the title.
Mm-hmm.
They did the Switchblade gimmick, which ends up being Jay White, who debuts at Power Struggle and goes on to face Tanahashi for the title at Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
The exact same formula worked tenfold last year, and it was a fantastic match.
So is it just talent, where Hiromu, we know what he can do? And like you said, maybe it could have been jitters in a way for Jay White, but to me it just... It just didn't do anything for me, attraction or not. I don't know if Tanahashi is you know, pissed behind the scenes, like, you're going to give me this guy. I just headlined how many?
I think Tanahashi's past that.
You know, like,
if I'm Tanahashi, I'm the secondary champion. I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
a lot of those New Japan guys, you know, if they cared, would Togi Makabe be so cordial out there? No, yeah, he'd be beating the hell out of people with his knife punches in the corner and he does to people. I mean, yes, he gives the crowd the middle finger and screams at people, but, you know, Coach,
show me more. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, we got some work ahead of us.
Prove me
wrong.
We'll
see what we can do. 34 minutes, 36 seconds, no DQ match for the IWGP US Championship.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega defeats Chris Jericho. I gave it 4 stars. What did you think of this contest, Alex?
I've watched this probably about 2.5 times. This was I like the build. It was very, you know, westernized, if you will, but I appreciate that. That's what I grew up on. I like the backstage segments, you know, they're doing an interview, he flips a table over him, or, you know, he attacks Jericho during the press conference. Like, that stuff I dig, I eat up, you know, that we're American, for God's sakes. The match, I thought, delivered. There were just a few spots that kind of irked me, if you will. I thought Jericho looked good, but you pointed out something which I thought was like, oh, maybe it's just his character. And, you know, he did get gassed a little, you know, towards the end there, where you could kind of tell where Omega had to help him in a few of the spots there. The table spot, you know, kind of annoyed me because I'm like, oh, you easily could have, you know.
He looked like he was not excited to do that.
It was cute, you know, maybe because he knows the time-honored tradition of the Japanese table and how evil that they can be.
No, he cut his butthole up.
And it was a good match. I liked the story, the brutalness, you know, of it. the chair losing its seats and then, you know, kind of getting hit with just the bare barrage.
Well, and that was a little ridiculous when he picked up the seat of the chair and threw it to hit him. I was like, come on.
But the V trigger, though, that led to kind of that table spot was wicked. The different, you know, variations of him trying to do the one winged angel until he finally got it. Like, oh, he's trying to get him into his finisher until he eventually delivered it onto the chair to finish Jericho, I thought was a dope maneuver. Yeah, Jericho, you know, the Code Breaker was a little sloppy, but they've been sloppy since he's been in New Japan, in my opinion.
I think it's the way Omega just takes him.
Takes him too, yeah.
I think he tries to make it.
It could be camera angle too, because the camera's always like more frontward, where the E is always more angled.
If you notice too, when most people would take the Code Breaker, they would go down with them and then bump backwards.
Yes, yeah.
Kenny Omega's trying to take a flat chest bump. And so his head jars sideways, and in a way, it almost looks more brutal sometimes.
No, the V triggers, I like the Hurricane Rana, Jericho, you know, back into Tokyo Dome, I thought was a really, really nice touch. This is one, again, I'll have to marinate, you know, watch it again in a few months. Hell, last year, you know, Cena and AJ Styles at the Rumble, I was not, you know, as everyone was like, that was the greatest match. I was like, well, their SummerSlam match was light years better. I marinated that after a few months rewatch. I was like, oh, I get it now. You know, I was like, they told that story, you know, totally different. So I'm going to marinate on this. I'll give it 4 stars. I truly liked it. It could have been a little shorter. It could have been maybe about 5 minutes shorter where Jericho, you know, could still be a little bit believable, you know, tired down, but still believable in that finish. A good match by both of them. It'll be interesting what they do. You know, kind of going forward, especially with the Long Beach shows, you know, Fozzy not being on tour.
I don't think Chris Jericho's worked a match this long in years, too.
Yeah.
Which, to his detriment, was probably something where, yes, you, as great of condition as you're in, I mean, until you do these day in and day out, like Omega and Okada do, it takes a toll. And you could tell by the end he was exhausted. And, you know, but he kept going through it. And it's, once again, it's what I said. When it became a wrestling match near the end, Jericho just needed to be in the right place and let Kenny do everything. Let Kenny handle the work. And Jericho did a great job putting over all the moves, selling everything he had.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the right spot for everything to make sense. And that's why Jericho is such a smart wrestler, is he knows his limitations.
Yes, yeah. And that was something that you kind of brought up, you know, weeks leading into, where that makes, you know, total sense, you know, just after watching the match, where, big admiration boost again for Kenny Omega. Because, he's that damn good, ladies and gentlemen. I get that number one ranking in a way, but I don't agree Okada 6, you know, kind of in that, Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, Sports Illustrated Okada 6.
Not after the Naito match, but... No, I would say Kenny Omega, he's the real deal. I get it. You know, it's not just, you know, 5, 6, 7 moves. He can tell a story.
And like I said, Kenny Omega kind of moves methodically like Great Muta, which I think is what draws me to him, because I was such a Muta head back in the day. Let's not forget, as I said last night, you know, when we were all watching the show, Chris Jericho's older than Hiroyoshi Tenzan. And Tenzan could barely even get in the ring for the Rumble.
Yeah.
You know,
too busy trying to scratch people with his Dr. Claw, if you will.
No, that's Suzuka.
Oh, that was.
I'm talking about Tenzan, the guy with Kojima. He's got
the
blonde.
Yeah, that guy.
Azuka. Shout out to Doof again. That was his guy. This guy's awesome, and he's ripping the crowd in half. But Jericho did fantastic, and he did. I think he surpassed my thoughts of what this match was going to be. I didn't think it was going to be a match of the year contender classic, but I knew it would be very entertaining, and I thought Jericho could do enough to make it work. Jericho is booked for New Year's Dash tonight. I wonder what they'll do tonight. It should be interesting. Once again, we're going to talk New Year's Dash here in a little bit.
What if he randomly challenges Tanahashi? I just had that, like, flash of, wow, what could be?
Here was my thought initially was, because he started, you know, him and Naito were going back and forth about the main event thing.
That's true.
He comes and they do Naito and Jericho in Long Beach.
Man.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
I'll be on my way to the LBC for sure. That happened. Good God.
But it was enjoyable. It did its job as the semi-main event. The, The crowd was hot.
Yeah.
The crowd was behind all of it.
Like down or bitter. I really enjoyed the match. I was just analyzing it a little bit more than I usually do. And, you know, again, I was over the moon for this. Yeah, and it's a damn good match. It's a 4-star match. I'm sure, you know, maybe in a month, 2-3 months when I revisit this, I'll probably grade it a little bit higher because I'll know a little bit more. And, of course, storylines progress and be like, okay,
yeah,
that makes sense, you know, why they did this part or this. It was just some of the pacing on it was just a little different in some sequences.
Yeah,
like,
agreed.
Yeah, you know, like you're kind of repeating or maybe you should have went left instead of going right.
Then we get in 36 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, man.
I called it last night. I said the belt hasn't changed hands in the last 6 times. And every time you think they're going one way,
ooh,
they never do. You thought Okada winning the G1 was going to be Tanahashi. He left crying.
Mm-hmm.
We then thought that Kenny Omega winning the G1 was definitely beating Kazuchika Okada. Did not happen.
Nope.
Kazuchika Okada, after a spinning tombstone followed up with a devastating rainmaker, defeats Tetsuya Naito.
Oh, man.
This match lived up to the hype for me. I went the full 5. And this is the nice thing about this match, too, is I didn't hear anybody go, didn't live up to last year's main event.
Doesn't need to.
Exactly. Yeah. This match was fantastic. It's one of those things where we talked about last night. This is going to be a story-driven match.
Yes.
And it was fantastic, the story they told. From the mind games Naito played at the beginning to the hard hitting at the end,
mm-hmm,
to the counters. We saw the Cobra Clutch that he uses get brought in. Yep.
Yeah, a few times in there.
We saw a great Destino counter. And that almost was Naito's downfall, is he was too worried about getting that, well, I'm going to hit another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hit another one instead of going for the cover, and it cost him. Okada catches him midair, hits that tombstone, hits that rainmaker, retains the title. It's crazy, but excuse me, I was still recovering from last night. Boy, was it fantastic. What did you think of the match?
I would say 5 stars. I mean, you can't compare, you know, this and Omega Okada Omega from last year, because it's apples and oranges. The pacing, the tone is just different for each of these matches. The history is there, you know, from, was it Wrestle Kingdom 8?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, which I watched.
Well, these guys were Young Lions together, too.
Okay. Oh, so, you know, even I got to watch that YouTube link that you sent to me still. But this was a good match. Naito, you know, definitely brought it. Those Destinos were vicious. The slaps, the spitting, you know, it was Naito at its finest here. Just the lariats were amazing. You know, I'm trying to think of the move that Naito did to Okada right before he went for the Destino sets. It was like I can't think of the gimmick, but it was just something
back
I'm thinking
of. Into the left.
Yeah, it was like a side slam, but it was like off the rope or something along those lines. I'll find it, but
I just want to see you keep doing this motion. It's tight.
But I thought it was a different move. I was like, oh god, he might get him with this spot here. But of course, Okada, you know, kicking out. Beautiful drop kicks. I mean, he reminds me of Randy Orton, you know, early in his careers with the drop kicks, the Europeans, you know, if
uh-huh,
you know, that Okada delivers. Just, you know, best in the business for sure. I wouldn't mind seeing him and Orton before, you know, he gets too lazy or too Randy Orton-esque later in his career, because that would be a damn good series of drop kicks and Europeans. But this was a good match. The story was told well. Naito, you know, thinking, you know, he was out of it early on, and then, of course, getting his second win and just going to town on Okada, which, you know, he's like, no, I'm going to hold your arm after that first round.
That was awesome. And the camera.
Up, and, yeah, I mean, kudos to the guys in the truck, the camera crew, for getting the certain amount of angles. The Cobra Clutch move, I'm kind of digging. I'm not going to lie. Shades of the Ringmaster. Just CNC being better there, but fun match. I mean, this, you can't ask for a better way to start off the year. Now the question is, Does this affect Naito? What's next for Naito?
I don't know. Let's talk champ real quick. Hiroshi Tanahashi, when he beat Satoshi Kojima at Wrestle Kingdom 5, 2011. I think it was, yeah, 2011. 404 days as champion. He had 11 title defenses. He was the second longest reigning champion at the time. Shinya Hashimoto had like 489 days. But Okada, I'm looking at this now. Okada's at 564 days now.
Wow.
So he's surpassed, obviously, Tanahashi and Shinya Hashimoto. Excuse me. He has 9 title offenses, 2 more to tie Tanahashi, 3 to pass Tanahashi. That'll be the most title offenses ever, too, by a champion.
Wow.
And Okada now, 1,360 days, has the most combined days as champion. Tanahashi in 7 title reigns had 1,358 days.
Wow.
Okada's topped that in 4 title defense, 4 title reigns. He had he had 564 plus going right now. The one he had going before he lost to Naito was 280 days, and then he had a 391, and then his first one was a 125. Ooh. He is making it matter to the point that when he finally loses that title, it is going to mean something special.
Man, are we going to get Undertaker meme guy? Are we going to get one of those guys?
But, yeah, it's going to be me.
I mean, yeah, this is a pretty damn impressive streak. I mean, the numbers don't lie there, especially when your opponents are a little bit better, you know, kind of stateside here. But, I mean, we already talked about earlier, I was like, you know, you could book fantasy dream matches, but he's already fought kind of the best.
Are you talking about, like, remaining opponents, or?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, because yeah. I was like, I don't know, man, Shibata and Tanahashi and Omega.
But he's already faced them, so it's just like, who can he get?
2 years ago in the G1, he lost to Tomohiro Ishii, who never got a title match. Hmm. What if they gave Ishii a title match?
I'm 100%
that would be awesome. You know Naito's going to get another shot, whether it be at the Tokyo Dome next year. Does Naito win the G1 again? I don't know.
Juice Robinson 2008.
I don't know. Does somebody show up tonight at the Dash to start a new feud?
But who? Who would that be?
I'm just at the Ryback.
Oh, God.
God, please no.
Yuck. No, I mean, the fight that Naito brought to him, it's something I don't think we need right away. I think that's something that could marinate, you know.
If
too.
You want to really shake up the foundation and really, really make the Puro fans go nuts,
mm-hmm.
there's talks that All Japan and New Japan, kind of like when Noah had Nakajima and Marufuji in the G1,
mm-hmm.
there was talks of potentially having a couple All Japan guys in the G1 this year.
Ooh.
To kind of do a little dual business with All Japan, kind of like they did when Kojima and Tenzan were going at it, you know, back in 2002, I think it was.
Yeah, I remember that, dude.
Hey, they went to an hour draw. It was fantastic. That's the match I've been trying for like 4 months to have you watch on the WWE, or the WWE World. Never mind. What if Kento Miyahara shows up tonight and challenges? He was the ace, the guy that brought All Japan back to the promised land. He had like a 400-some-day title reign.
Wow.
I believe it's Suwama and Joe Doring are feuding for the All Japan Triple Crown right now. I could be wrong. Let me use the Google. I haven't seen the last few shows since the Champion Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
Let me – Triple Crown Champion All Japan Pro Wrestling. Here we go. What do we got? The current champion is Joe Doring. That's what I thought. And he's feuding, I believe, with Suwama, who was – they were boys, you could call it. Kento Miyahara. So January 12, 2016, Suwama ruptured his Achilles tendon. They needed somebody to really take a run with it.
Uh-huh.
Kento Miyahara wins it February 12, 2016. And he won it maybe in front of 100 people. It looked like in that building. He beat Zeus, who's this big jacked up dude. He's pretty tight. And holds the title for 464 days before losing it to Shuji Ishikawa.
Oh, wow.
I lost it to Ishikawa in May of 2017 last year. And they went from no crowds to a few thousand fans.
Huh.
So he was kind of the resurging ace that All Japan was looking for. They tried to put the belt on people. You know, they they went with a Go Shiozaki Jun Akiyama partnership with Noah that didn't work for them. Suwama, I thought, was going to carry the strap. Like I said, he tore his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get Kento Miyahara, who was a bright spot for All Japan, a fantastic champion. Like I said, he lost it to Ishikawa, won it back from Ishikawa, losing it to Suwama, who dropped it in just 12 days to Joe Doering, who's back. Now Doering and Suwama are feuding, so you don't have anything for Kento Miyahara. Well, you do. I mean, I'm sure he'll be in some kind of program again with, like, the Bodyguard or guys like that, Jake Lee maybe. But now you have something if you're going to do it. Have the ace from All Japan show up tonight and challenge Okada.
I mean, he can pump kick him out of the ring, and I think that would start a few.
Are you watching some Kento Miyahara stuff?
But this guy, when I see Kento Miyahara wrestle right now in the top 10 moves of his, I'm like, oh, this guy easily fits the Switchblade gimmick. You know, I just see him as a Switchblade to kind of
thing. He's got the
stuff.
Hair.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this totally works. But good God, yeah, that would be amazing. He's a little guy, a littler guy, so I don't know how that would play. But, I mean, he's holding his own, as I'm seeing. The blackout move there, I mean, that's pretty dope-tastic. I mean, the German suplex, I mean, I can't wait to see if this does happen, if they do bring him over, you know, they kind of trade off here. This shutdown German suplex, him and Ibushi got to go in.
Oh,
suplex,
yeah.
Be suplex.
They
got to
be the same block.
Other. That would be awesome. That would be all. That talk about Suplex City. That's
yeah, you're putting them in a block killing G1. Now, I'll say the same thing I said last night. I am 95% positive that Naito's going to win, but I will not bet against Kazuchika Okada winning at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
Okada won at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
I'm 95% sure that Gato hasn't even called All Japan about doing this.
No.
But there's a small chance that if they're going to do something big, like a lot of people
that's
are talking about,
yeah.
And if that rumored partnership, because they tried it with Noah, and they did decent business to help Noah at first, and then it just kind of faltered when Takaki Kidani came in and Noah sold, they sold out and to a different business. It was just, you know, the Bushiroad, and it was just goofy. And it feels like that you're going to try it with All Japan and see what they can do with All Japan.
Hey, why not? I mean, if the branch is there, you might as well take it to shake things up, you know, over there. And it'll only do gangbusters for both. Like you said, you're wrestling in the bingo halls, you know, out there that they were doing before to build business up with Miyahara there. I mean, just why not?
I bet you might even be able to find it. It's I think, February 12th, 2016.
Uh-huh.
February 12, 2016, look up Kento Miyahara and Zeus from the 2016 Excite series. If you can pull that up, look at how many people are in this building. It's laughable.
Oh, man. You said February 12?
Yep. It's the 2016 Excite series, Kento Miyahara against Zeus.
Oh, man.
Is it on there?
My grandmama gave me that chain. I think it has more views than people in the
Are you watching it?
The audience.
Look at how empty that building is.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy.
I think they get more people in Mandan, North Dakota than
the last
Yeah, there are empty chairs. I go, well, wow.
Yeah, and this is
Ring of Honor shouldn't feel that bad. They come to Hopkins, Minnesota, apparently. So, wow.
And now they're drawing in the thousands. You know, mid-thousands, three, yeah. 4,000s. Kento Miyahara saved that company. He was the Tanahashi, you know, back when New Japan was in that dark spot. You know,
so young and little.
Yeah, he's
in. My God, that pump kick, that's brutal.
So that'd be something insane to see. So I don't know where we go with Okada. As for your first question, Tetsuya Naito, what do we do with Naito?
Oof.
I think now you do the rebuild with him. We saw the same thing. What I'm saying is you saw the same. We saw Wrestle Kingdom 10, or excuse me, Wrestle Kingdom 9. Okada comes in cocky as all hell. He won the briefcase. He's challenging at the Dome. He loses, and he goes to the back crying with Gato. He's crying that he couldn't beat Tanahashi at the Dome again.
Yeah.
He regroups. He comes back. And then he beats Tanahashi the following year. He has a breakout year. He's beating everybody in sight and has one of the best. That was the start of this great run that we have of his.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I think you give Naito some, give him some smaller stuff
mm-hmm.
to kind of not cool him off, but kind of just phase him out of the title for a minute.
Yeah.
And then have him challenge again at Dominion. We've seen Dominion has become a hellaciously fantastic show.
Yes, yeah. Voted, what, number two?
That was, yeah, it was number two for event of the year behind Wrestle Kingdom last year. And then maybe have Naito win it at Dominion,
man,
in Osaka, Joe.
That would be perfect if you book tonight Naito Jericho. That's all that's in my mind right now. That's the only thing that would make sense. That would, it doesn't need to elevate anything like that. It just needs to be like, okay, we want to have Naito to keep having premier matches,
mm-hmm,
a la Okada in 2017. Why not put him against someone?
And you could have a guy like Chris Jericho, who's as big of a prick as he is, come out and call Naito a loser.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
he completely loses the match before. You lost in the main. You,
yeah,
yelled at me about not being the main event. You were mad that I was going to be the main event. Well, you blew it in the main event,
perfect,
Naito.
Perfect, yeah.
So how dare you disrespect me for us when we should have been in the main event, because,
mm-hmm,
you finally got your damn main Tokyo Dome main event and you blew it. And everyone knows damn well that he lost.
I mean, it makes sense due to the fact that, A, what, he has that gimmick in Chicago in March, I want to say. Not the tease, but the wrestling thing, or is that February?
February.
Maybe
he's doing an AAW show against Sammy Callahan, and then
maybe he can lay low in Chicago for, you know, a few weeks, head out to a, you know, Long Beach, LA, you know, kind of for the March 22nd show or the 25th show. That would sell you would sell out if you announced Naito Jericho,
mm,
right away. I mean, that match, you don't even, Okada obviously can be there, but that could be your main event,
yeah,
and that would sell.
Yeah.
My God. Just the characters, and not even the promo build, but it's just like the back and forth. Yeah, I mean, not promos, obviously, but the back and forth between the two that you can do social media, even on the various shows, you know, as he did with Omega. That is just something I'm clamoring for now, so,
mm-hmm,
thank you.
And I don't think it's far-fetched. I really don't think it's far-fetched. If Jericho's going to be there, I don't think he's going to be there to shake Omega's hand and leave.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I feel like Jericho knows the money so good right now.
Yeah.
His, He's outselling the Young Bucks at Hot Topics now. The Alpha shirt is. So there is legit money to be made.
Yeah.
When you listen to Jericho's podcast, I think you said, are you listening on your way home, you said?
Yeah.
With him and Callis?
Yeah.
You'll hear what he says to Vince. And he says exactly Vince tells him exactly what it is, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. You can listen to it.
Nice.
Everyone else, go listen to Jericho's podcast. Alex doesn't listen, so he's not getting spoiled. But I just feel like there's too much money to be made for him to go back right away.
Yeah.
And he's not going to go back to the E if he's not on top. He doesn't have a reason to.
Does he show up at the Rumble?
No.
He doesn't show up?
No. He's not going to show up at the Rumble. He's not going to show up at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we know Mania, but he's got some time open. Why not? He's, you know, the best in the world. So, I mean, that would be dope, is what I'm saying.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a way you can go with Naito. And if you go that route, he can work, you know, whatever type matches on his way to March.
Mm-hmm.
And then now after that, you got Sakura Genesis in April. You got Wrestling Dontaku in the beginning of May. And then you have your Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got, you'll have a little time to fill, but it's not saying it can't be done.
Yeah.
It's not saying it can't be done.
Oh, man.
Let's,
I was pulling a standing eight count there for a second, but no, I would say no. I mean, again,
you like that? You like that?
It's just something that I would dream of now until this happens. It's something I think that would benefit, you know, both men, but obviously New Japan, to make their way against stateside, since that is their on their decree for 2018. I'm excited. Like I said, it's like the Monday after Mania. I'm not going to stay up, but I'm sure I won't look on Facebook or anything for a day until I can watch.
I won't spoil anything. I won't spoil it. But I'll tell you this, next Monday when we are back at a normal time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, we will be talking New Year's Dash.
Yes.
So you have until that Monday to watch it. I think we discussed New Year's Dash. I don't think we need to take a break and come back and discuss it again. I think we can wrap this up unless you have anything else you want to go into.
Final thoughts on, obviously it's hard to top Wrestle Kingdom 11. It's going to be hard to top Wrestle Kingdom 13 in the future when we're there.
Next year we will be, Song Style Media will be at the Tokyo Dome.
I mean, overall, I mean, in my opinion, like, everyone is going ham online about this show, as well as they should. It was a good show. Matches where I didn't expect too much exceeded my expectations. But it's just like a little bit on, you know, like certain movies, if you will. We're like, wow, that movie is really good. But they're saying it because they're like, oh, well, you know, that director is so esteemed that, you know, we have to say that we like this movie. You think people are just saying that?
I think it's because there's so many people who hadn't seen it before.
Like, your friend, you know, last night there. You know,
Doof was there. Look at Jordan. He'd seen 1 3-hour Access TV. Jen, who took a nap and actually stayed up and watched it, the whole thing. She watched the whole damn thing. She was one of the people who didn't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Three people. I think three people fell asleep last night. And we had, you know, five that didn't. So we had over half. Sorry, Kyle. Your numbers were skewed. Kyle had the over-under, I think, at 50%. But you look at it, and all three of those people that had never really watched a New Japan show all enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Jen herself said, well, I don't know if I can watch that Monday Night Raw ever again.
Oh, man.
Because this was...
Way to poison her mind, Demetrius.
Demetrius was the catalyst for not going over and under because he wasn't hammered. So he made it through the whole show. High spot, Demetrius, you stayed away. He just did some Sea Heil things. Oh, he's making his moveset. I apologize. Sorry, Demetrius. I averaged it out. It got a 3.72 repeating for me.
Okay.
So three and three quarters is what I essentially, on average, gave Wrestle Kingdom.
What did last year's get, if you remember?
I didn't have this cute diary you guys talk. Okay, so if you guys hear this diary crap.
He's pulling his Jay White, if he's getting his Jay White on it.
So I have bought a Spartan. Oh, I didn't buy it. I actually took it from Rocco's. it was in the drawer I was cleaning out and. The owner was like, I don't know what the hell that is. And I said, great, it's mine. So I took this, it's even got a cool little clip so I can close it. And like, sorry, my pen's stuck in this cool thing I got.
Oh, man.
See, look at this thing. The Jam.
Oh, sweet.
Shout out to Mike Hohenwald, 651-731-7277 for sponsoring this thing. I hope nobody calls him too much. But
you're like the new Bruce Pritchard with all his, you know, all his journals, tablets and stuff. And
like I said, whether it's the main event on the WWE Network or a Rev Pro show, everything I watch this year, I'm going to try to write and grade and keep this and see if I can keep up on this. Now, there's been three shows.
Meltzer, we're coming for you, man.
I still haven't watched SmackDown, so I'm still going to watch that. So I'm already behind. I didn't watch NXT. But honestly, it's going to be literally if I watch it, I'm writing it.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't have time to watch something, it's not going to get graded.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see how this year stacks up. And I wish I would have graded last year because 2017 was spectacular.
Yeah.
With how many great matches we had. So.
And they weren't stateside, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Only a few of those got to, there was even one south of the border. So, I mean, that was, or a few, you know, on your end there. So, a great way to kick off 2018, sorry. New Japan, of course, you know, not delivering a dud, not a clash of champions, if you will. This
no
was a
true
great
referees.
Way to start. I'm excited, you know, for the Rumble. You know, I'm more excited for that coming, you know, more so than WrestleMania. But like you were stating last night, we get excited for Wrestle Kingdom now instead of WrestleMania. Like, this is our go-to show. Had a packed house last night. Fun times. I'm looking forward to where they're going to go. It's going to be hard to top last year. But, you know, depending on where they, you know, kind of fit all the pieces, maybe, you know, stir things up a little, which I think they possibly do need. I think, you know, you don't need another trilogy per se this year. Like you're saying, maybe even hold off for, you know, Naito Okada. at 13 there, you know, have that be the trilogy, not, you know, at
exactly. Do what you did with Tanahashi and Okada worked.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to do something like that again.
Book it, Gato, Jericho, and Naito, and Mike.
Guys, if you haven't, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Radio TuneIn. It's listed as Sportscast Radio or WrestleCast, but very soon, this month, we should have everything changed over. Strong Style Media.
Yeah.
You'll be able to catch myself with Jordan tonight, sometime after midnight, no later than 1, because I got to be done for New Year's Dash. Sportscast Radio, it is day 5 of our 11 great days of 2018,
yeah.
Debuting the cohesive thank you, that we have put together with Strong Style Media, with myself, with Alex, with Jordan, Kyle, with Elijah. Demetrius jumping around back there. We got a little spot for him coming up. Saturday night, Kyle's taking over the airwaves with some music. Sundays, we're bringing back San Diego Count, 10 p.m. Central Time. Monday, we'll be giving you WrestleCast Radio, normal time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tuesday in the a.m. again, probably around the same time because Jordan's overnight, so we gotta go to the schedule. We're rocking out another sportscast for you. Next Wednesday will be the debut of Alex's The Pop Cultures.
Rebranding, if you will.
On the network. Thursday, then Kyle will close the stretch with another night of music. It's awesome.
Yeah.
We're giving you content, and you guys are listening. Our numbers are astronomical.
Let's keep it moving. Share. Tell people.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff.
Tell people about the Strong Style Media. You know, of course, when it's finally official on the interwebs there. But yeah, give and share, like, comment. WrestleCast Radio on Facebook. As well as then we got Strong Style Media, kind of coming up in the social media.
Yeah, we have everything locked down. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, the whole nine yards. We just don't have anything on there yet, so nobody can take our ish. But it will be official. We're going to have merch coming out, the whole nine yards. We're going to have websites, going to have a shop. You can get your WrestleCast Radio wristbands. It's exciting. We're excited, and we couldn't have done it without all you guys. The fourth quarter numbers were in the thousands and thousands. It was incredible, the amount of I can't believe New Year's Day we had.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
And
so,
thank you for everyone entering in the 2017 WrestleCast Radio End of Year Awards. We'll be tallying up the Ryan will be tallying up the vote. The many, many, many entries and votes. And as you can check out our show last night, the Wrestle Kingdom preview show, we kind of give away the winners on that. So don't forget to check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, Radio TuneIn, as well as Google Play Store, WrestleCast Radio.
We will catch you guys on Monday for more WrestleCast. Wars will be coming out soon. We're going to leave you with this. Have a good night, boys and girls.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Dude.